From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Big Blue Roundtable Preview versus the Los Angeles Rams. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio. Hey, listen, man, Chris cannot make this episode. I want you guys and gals, stakeholders, football fans, keep Chris and his family in prayer. Got a family emergency. He just wanted to shout you guys out. He said that he misses you guys already. You know, so for the Bleed Blue Show, shout-outs to Chris. He couldn't make this episode. Family emergency. If you want to reach out to Chris, hit him up. Let the professor know that you guys are thinking about him, man. He's got to, have to take care of some family business, man. He just wanted me to pass the message. And I also have a message for you guys and gals, too. I, too, want to say my bad. I apologize. I was a little – I didn't think it was that bad, honestly. I'm going to keep it in the butt. But nonetheless, I had a good time in D.C., but it was a little out of hand when I heard the replay. I want to apologize to the flow, first and foremost, to Chris for kind of butchering the show, even though we got blown out in Dallas. I was having a good time and – called in, and I just couldn't even get the words out of my mouth. I thought I said what I thought I was going to say as far as the cornerbacks could have covered, they could have get to the quarterback. Things you guys already said when I heard you guys speak. I heard Litt speak. I heard Carl speak when they called in. Mandy Dogs, LB. But, last week is last week. Now we're on to this week. We have four games. We're going to update the confidence point standings at the end of the episode, or actually before the picks. Going to talk some Rams versus Giants and how the hell we're going to get it done or even remotely try to get it done, man. We got to figure that out, man. 929-477-4171, BleedBlueShow.com, and Big Blue Roundtable. Without further ado, man, let's get a roll call going so we could get this dialogue going. So how the hell we match up versus the Los Angeles Rams this week? This is going to be rough, man. But we're going to talk it through as a Big Blue family. At the C-Notes, Carl, what's going on? It sounded like you had a great time, man. Great pictures I saw on social media, man. Hope all is well, man. Say hello to the people. We'll go right down the line. Bring on Dre. I think that's the worm, man. The Merryman after that. Carl, what up, man? How you doing, man?
Well, the good times are always good. The games are, usually the are usually lacking. So that's that goes without saying. But good to hear from you, brother.
Good, man. Good to hear from you, man. You had a good time, man, in the Metroplex? I mean, you out there. So, I'm talking about for the game.
Well,
yeah? No? Yeah, maybe? All right, we'll come back to him. That's cool. Drizzy, what's up, man? How you doing, man? Talking Rams
awesome.
Versus... Oh, okay. You went in and out. I'm sorry. Say that again. Right. Repeat that again. You went in and out. I didn't hear you.
Oh, okay.
Say that all
out.
I
apologize. No, it was a great weekend down here in town because we had the Red River game with Oklahoma and Texas, everybody coming in to town for that. So we had that Saturday, the fight that Saturday evening, which was an awesome time as well, and then the game up at AT&T. I know the result was bad, but everything that surrounded those 3 days was absolutely spectacular. And if you're down, if everybody's down to come by and visit next year when we do it again.
All right. Shout outs to you, man. Yeah, you're right. The Red River game, that was a barn burner. The fight was fantastic. Yeah, that's a full weekend. You're right. Drizzy, say what up to the people, man. How you doing? We'll bring on the worm after that and then deep bakes on the front line. Dre, what up, man? How you doing?
What's good? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I got you. What's going on?
All right, yeah. My reception kind of messed up. I'm at work. But yeah,
Yeah.
Shout out to D Bakes, inviting me out there. We're at Texas Live watching the game, trying to make the best of it. What happened, the slaughter that happened, but we still made the best of it. Shout out to him, inviting me. taking me back to the after-hour spot, hanging out a little bit, doing what we do. And Carl, I need to holler at you before I leave this town. I'm here working in Dallas. I need to holler at you before I meet you, go out, kick it, whatever. So we get together after the show. Blue, blue.
Blue, blue. Shout out to Dre. The Worm, is this you? If it is you, sir, congratulations on the matrimony to your wife. I hope all is well. And it must be serious business if you're calling in. Because you're usually on the post game, but the previews, man. What's up, bro? How you doing, man?
Hey, thank you so much. Now that I got all the wedding planning done and the wedding's over, I got a lot more free time. I missed all you guys.
Yeah, we miss you too, huh? No, I mean, I see the what's it called? Your Happy Game Day post on the Worm fan page. I do see that.
I make sure that gets done.
Yeah, it has to. It has to. It's religion.
Yeah. And I just wish the Giants could match the, the power that comes out in those speeches.
Because you know when we come back around to you, we're gonna have to pick your brain on why this is going the way it is. We want to hear your perspective. So stay tight, real quick. We'll bring on these bigs and we're gonna go around. Meet your line real quick, Worm, Dre, and Carl, if you're not speaking. Hey, Bakes, what up, D-Bakes? Did you enjoy the Metroplex, brother? How you doing, man? Represent NYG Frontlines, 49ers NYG on Twitter. Hey, man, how you doing, man?
What's good, Steve? Didn't go in the Metroplex, but I was at Texas Live. Still had a good time. Mm-hmm. It was a toss-up to whether I was going to pay Jerry or, I didn't feel like paying Jerry. So I went to hang out with some folks that was at Texas Live. I had a good time. And the results is definitely not what we wanted late. I will say the first half we was hanging with them till the injuries piled on. We had opportunities early. The defense kind of gave us some opportunities to even jump ahead, and we didn't do what we needed to do, and then we got injuries. But that's really the tail of the tape for the New York Giants. But had a good time. It was good to see some of the folks. Remember, we didn't have this camaraderie last year because of COVID. At least most people didn't. I didn't go anywhere, but it was a good experience. But the game result usually is not what we're looking for. So, leave
it. Yeah, I mean, so Texas Live, that's right there at the stadium, or across the street,
yep,
or something like that.
Yep.
So yeah, good time. Fight parties and gatherings and all that was all popping, huh?
Yeah, 100%, man. Did a fight party Saturday night. And I had a cigar lounge. It was pretty cool, man. Like I said, it was a good time. A good time is always a good time. It's just how the Giants make it a good time into a great time, you know? So.
I know, man. I know. I mean, you know more and better than anybody like Carl and, guys who really pound the road, man. It's just you got to enjoy the fellowship for what it is. We can't control what happens on the field. We can talk about it here, and we have fun on here, and we can bring the camaraderie at the home games and the road games, but it is what it is. This is why I'm numb to the pain. Like, Carl's probably numb to the pain, and if you're diehards like Dre and the Worm, man, you're probably pulling your hair out. I mean, it all depends how you look at it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
All right, cool. All right, Carl, we're going to do it like this. We got the Rams this week. They are pretty good this year. DeSean Jackson is a very viable deep threat they've added. Cooper Kupp, some time after that ACL injury, he's always been a yak kind of guy, meaning yards after the catch. Robert Woods, they use him in a versatile scheme as far as in the rounds. He'll run the ball. But, Sonny Michel has been getting a lot of touches since coming over in the acquisition. And I actually have him on my fantasy football team, so I kind of keep tabs on him. And I might start him this week, honestly. I think that would be the wise thing me personally to do. But the Rams defense may not have nothing to worry about this week, Carl, but they have been struggling. They've been giving up a lot of yards, a lot of points, but they're running into the Giants, right? You already know injuries up yin-yang. He was there at the game in Dallas. You saw Daniel Jones trying to run it in. I couldn't even get my words out last week. I wanted to say that, but he tried and ended up concussed. So with his status, who knows? Barkley hurt. Galladay hurt. I'm going to be honest, Carl. I don't know where you guys stand. I was tired of the Giants getting punked like that. I don't – listen, man, I don't know. I'm a different breed of fan. I don't give a fuck that Tony punch the Cowboys player. I actually kind of dig it. I know it's not the politically correct thing to say, but at least, you know, it seemed like he gave a damn. And I hate when the newspapers try to get on Tony, but it is what it is. But Carl, give us your thoughts on how you're looking at this matchup this week versus the Rams. We'll go right down the line from Drizzy to the Worm and into Fakes as well, man. And I'll go on mute. I'm going to go ahead for your 3 minutes, man.
All right, appreciate it. Obviously, you know, punching a guy I hear some background noise there. I think punching a guy with your bare hands to a guy's helmet never seems to result in anything good. So I that part, you know, I can't explain, but, you know, at least he showed some level of emotion at the end of the game there while they were losing. Wish I would have seen some emotion from the entire team throughout the course of the game, but, you know, it is what it is. I think when you look at Sunday's game, since we don't know if Jones is going to play or not, I think the way that this game will sort of play out really sort of depends on that. If Jones doesn't play, then there's really no reason to watch for the most part. I think Mike Glennon, he is what he is. He's an average backup quarterback at best who will underthrow some passes. He'll do just enough to, you know, potentially keep the game somewhat respectable. But unfortunately, with the other injuries that are in play, you know, the running backs, the receivers, even Thomas on the offensive line, which was a surprise when I got to the game and I saw him on the sideline, but not in the game. I kept wondering what's going on there. I did not know what the issue was with that. So that's part of the issue with, you know, facing the Rams defense. Now, you had mentioned about how the Rams have been giving up points. The Rams have also been playing some really good teams, you know, Tampa. Who else did they play in the season? Seattle before Russell Wilson got hurt, Arizona. So they've been playing some really good offenses, and now all of a sudden they come up this week and it's like, wait, we're playing the Giants? Like, who are these guys? And so that's the one thing that I wonder. I think the one thing you'd have to hope for if you're a Giant fan is hoping for some bit of a West Coast to East Coast letdown with the early start. I think that is perhaps the only saving grace of this game, but perhaps that may not even matter. I think defensively with the Giants, listen, the tackling is bad. You know, I'm not totally sure how that gets corrected. We've been seeing it for 5 weeks. That has not changed since the first game of the season. And if that's not going to change, the Rams can run the ball on you. And the Rams will likely just do the exact same thing the Cowboys did until the Giants tackle them, basically. And then on the off chance that the Giants decide that they're going to try to take away the run, we've seen Bradbury and the secondary just get beat. That really hasn't changed since about the second game of the season. So it's to make the case on our side for this Sunday's game is very, very difficult. I don't think there's any way around it. Maybe we get a surprise like the game last year where I think it was final scores, 16-9 or something like that, where the game was just close enough until the end until they, you know, gave it up. But, you know, from, you know, just matchup-wise, the way things have trended, it's to make any sort of reasonable case for the Giants is just very, very difficult.
I was actually going to ask everybody that. I'm glad you kind of beat me to the point, to the punch. Do you think this year matchup with them, is it going to be what you just said last year when we went to L.A.? Is it going to be more like that where it was a very close game and they ended up squeaking it out? Or is it going to be more so the time before that when they came to MetLife? And I think Todd Gurley was on that team, and they actually made a lot of people like Warren leave the stadium early, meaning they blew us out. what matchup do you think? What's the results you think is going to be more like? Like last year when we – because remember, we came on that preview last year. We thought it was going to be like, oh, man, they're going to destroy us. But it was actually a close game when we came back on that postgame. What do you think the results is going to be?
I don't think we had a gauge of how not playing with fans in the building – played a role in how some of those games were played last year. I think the Rams being I think there were two touchdown favorites last year playing in a building with no fans. I think that played a role in how that game played out. This time around, the fans are out for blood. Like, let's be honest. You know, the Giants, I think, have won 9 of the last 35 home games. Worm can probably – he's probably been there for most of that, you know, craziness. And the fans are just – they're angry. They they've seen what the team is doing this season. And with that in play, that sort of like toxic feeling in the atmosphere at home, that's where I think – the second something goes wrong, the fans get down in the stadium, the Giants get down, and the Rams just basically have to do just enough to take the crowd out of it, take the team out of it, and then proceed on to victory.
Now, do you have a question for the stakeholders on this episode? Do you have something for Dre, who's next on the game, for the game matchup versus the Rams? And then it doesn't have to work for everybody, really.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I mentioned about 2 weeks ago was the fact that I thought Tony only got on the field in the snaps counts that he did because Shepard wasn't available. I don't know if Shepard is supposed to be available this week. There's rumors that he is, but with both of those guys playing the same position, I don't see how the offense can work with both of those guys on the field. Maybe something else can, maybe the rest of the guys can try to take that. But I don't see how this works with both of those guys basically taking up each other's airspace.
All right, Jerry, you want to answer that question about the utilization of Shepard and Tony, and also your thoughts on this week versus the Rams, and then those are all the questions for, you know, everybody down the line.
Yeah. Can you hear me? You hear me?
Yeah, I can. I'm sorry. I can hear you. I just want to mute. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Basically, as far as that, man, I really don't see what that would do if both of them are available to play anyway. That is, if Darius Jones don't play. What we got screwed at is, okay, last year, Garrett put in, you know, the read option in the middle of the season, so probably about 40% of the offense was read option. And we figured out, he found out that with the read option, Daniel Jones fumbles less because he can actually take off running or whatever. So now this year, over 50% of the offense relies on the read option, which is why our offense looked the way it looked when Daniel Jones got knocked out, because basically the offense is built around him now. So, My take on it is, man, I just want to say something. Like, Gettleman really screwed us, because I don't know if you guys know that as far as active quarterbacks, our backup quarterback is number one in the NFL as far as losing records. And Daniel Jones is ranked number four. So basically we got two top five losing records. Our quarterback is number one and number four in the league. So that blows my mind. You can't make this shit up. It's like Gettleman goes on Madden and does his drafting on Madden before he actually does the drafting with us. I don't know. So if Daniel Jones don't play, man, I'm thinking that we're going to get blown out. Like you mentioned earlier, Steve, they do have DeSean Jackson, a.k.a. the Giant Killer. Now, everybody want to say, well, Stafford's not that good, because Stafford had Megatron backing him up. But now Stafford got a whole bunch of Megatrons, meaning he has a whole bunch of playmakers on that field with him now. He has some receivers to throw it to, which makes him even more dangerous. So I really don't – if Daniel Jones don't play and the offense can't keep up, I really don't see anything, you know, us doing anything, because first of all, we're going to tire the defense out for going three and out all the time. And I have a question for the stakeholders. I don't know if you guys heard. What did you think about Leonard Williams tweeting about how he feels about the fans and the media saying that he's not doing nothing because he feels that he got paid for more than doing sacks? Now, my take on it is...
All right, we can throw that question.
Last year, you specifically got paid. You only did one thing different that you didn't do when we first got you. When we first got you, you almost sacked the quarterback. those 6 or 7 games that you came on the first year you were with us. You got a lot of hits. The second year, which was last year, you didn't do nothing the first half, but you started getting sacks the second half. So to me, you got paid for doing sacks. That's your main reason for getting paid, because you started getting sacks. Now you're not getting those sacks, and you're pissed off at the fans and media, and you're trying to say, well, you're not looking at the big picture. I didn't just get paid for sacks. I'm not just there for sacks, and I'm basically doing a good job. I don't think you are, because we paid you for the sacks. Now, stakeholders, what do you think about that when we answer that?
All right, we're going to let Worm answer that. I actually have my answer, but I don't want – this is you guys' time, so I'm going to wait patiently after the Worm and Bakes. But hold on, Dre, before you go. Carl had a question, man. What about the utilization of Shepherd and Tony, man? You have any thoughts on that real quick?
I answered it. I said it won't really matter if Daniel Jones not playing. Then I went into why it won't matter, how the offense is built around him now.
Gotcha. All right, I see what you're saying. Gotcha. All right, cool. I'm writing that down. Let's go to the Worm, man. Worm, you got two questions on the table, Carl, as far as Tony and Shepherd and also the great utilization of Leonard Williams. What's your thoughts? Matchup versus the Rams as well? And then we'll go from there.
Matchup versus the Rams is not good. I mean, I see Darrell Henderson having – you know, almost a career day and picking up where Zeke left off last week. The Giants tackling is pathetic. And this dude's going to eat against the Giants defense. We have no Blake Martinez. So you don't have that enforcer in the middle of that defense. So Henderson's going to run all over the Giants. And he's going to put the Rams in manageable, you know, second and short, maybe second and medium, third and short situations. And you're going to have Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp fucking tearing apart that secondary. And let's not forget fucking Giants killer in DeSean Jackson. Offensively, you got Devontae Booker. He's a significant downgrade from Barkley. Galladay's out. Shepherd, we don't know yet. That leaves Tony, John Ross, Ingram, if he decides to catch a ball. If you're going to have, you know, Shepard's playing, you're going to have them both on the field at the same time, maybe look at going more to a spread formation, put them both inside at the slot receiver, let them run either a hash marks or just inside the numbers. Have them on a – have them up the seams. Deep post, have them come in on a slant, try bubble screens with them. You get Tony the ball in space, the dude can make people miss. But, you know, if Glennon's the quarterback, that dude's not mobile. And that front seven for the Rams is no joke. I think you're going to see Glennon on his back an awful lot, because that offensive line of ours is very suspect. As far as Williams is going, this is why I have the big criticism every year when you have a player that's playing for a new contract. They'll have a great, you know, all-pro season, getting all these pressures, all these sacks, or they make all these catches if they're a receiver. If it's a running back, they get all these yardage because they're working for that new contract. Once they get that new contract, you know, they're set for the next 4 to 5 years, so it's like, well, fuck it. You know what? I got my deal. Most of it's guaranteed. So, you know, you can kind of half-ass it on plays. And you see Leonard Williams a lot. There's plays that he takes off, you know, on during the games. The other thing you got to remember is Delvin Tomlinson, when he was here, he picked up a lot of the double teams. And that left Leonard Williams, you know, one-on-one. You know, and when he gets double teamed, he's not splitting that double team and creating a dirt pile on that line. You know, he's not getting through. He's not doing anything. He's just getting blown off the ball back into our linebackers. When you get your D lineman pushed into your linebackers, now you got that running back right behind him with a lead block, whether it's a fullback or a pulling guard. that back's gonna get a good 10 plus yards. As far as this matchup, I kind of see the score similar last week. Maybe, you know, 44-10, 44-17. I don't see the Giants putting up many points. I really don't. You know, watching them is like watching a hamster on a wheel in his cage, just runs around, thinking someday he's going to get to the top of that hamster wheel that's in his cage, and it never does. And that's the Giants. They're just running on that wheel. They never get to the top. They're always just running in the same place, like they're running in quicksand, and nothing's changing. That's basically it.
All right, cool. You have a question you want to throw at D. Bakes on top of the questions Carl and Dre have.
At what point do you bring in an outside consultant to look at the organization from top to bottom and really give Mara an evaluation and take his father's Rolodex and throw that shit out the fucking door and burn it and give a fair assessment and make Mara look at himself in the mirror? At what point are we going to get to where he's going to have that coming to Jesus moment where they actually bring in an outside consultant, you know, almost like when George Young was forced upon Willington Mara, you know, back in the late 70s or 80s.
All right, cool. Let's go to Bakes. Three questions for you, man, Tony and Shepard. The utilization or impact of Leonard Williams from Dre, and then Worm's question as far as an outside consultant. What's your thoughts, D-Bakes, in the matchup versus the
Well, so far, the first question, I think I agree with Dre where it came kind of the moot point, but in the real world, I think it could work because Shep can play the slot and Tony can do the gadget plays like the jet sweep that they like to give to Ingram. They can give that to him. They can run him in space and do the bubble screens and things like that. And like they've been trying to do the halfback option with him. That hasn't been working because we don't have a running game. That's why it doesn't work. But it can work, but now we don't have a legit quarterback. And that was one of my issues going into the season where they didn't want to get a legit backup because they didn't want the fan base clamoring for the backup if Jones didn't turn the corner. It kind of looked like Jones has turned the corner. So I'm happy about that. The interceptions are down. The fumble snaps are down. The fumbles are down, at least through the first four games. In terms of the second question, what was the second question? That was from Dre.
It was about Leonard Williams. Leonard Williams from Dre.
Leonard Williams. Leonard Williams sounds like a crybaby. When you get paid big money and you're not performing, the fan base is going to talk about you. And you're playing in the biggest media market in the country. You're playing in New York City. And you're underperforming. I personally did not like this deal. I agree with Worm where in a contract year, a player is always going to give it his best, his extra best, because it's playing for a contract. Because when we traded him, he didn't play that great. And in the second year, towards the end of that first half and second half, he started playing better. The only thing I would say, he is getting doubled more because there's no other really help that he has on the line. So that's the only one thing I can say. But he made some plays. He made that the tip play and thing on the interception. So he's playing okay, but we're not getting the pass rush. He needs help. But I think he shouldn't complain personally because that's what happens when you get paid big money. You get paid to perform, and when you're not performing, the fan base is going to clamor. And to Worm's question, that time has passed years ago. In the real world, it's passed years ago. What's really going to happen is if we get embarrassed this year, if we continue on this path, that's what's going to happen to us. We're going to get embarrassed. We kind of lucked up. I won that Saints game, and it was kind of fool's gold. I had a good feeling going in. We kind of looked good, but we hit injuries. If we get embarrassed this year, like really embarrassed, what is he going to do? Gettleman cannot. Whether we even if we break 500 this year, Gettleman cannot survive. He's one of the key reasons that. And let me, you know what? Forget that part. So we've already get. Here's the problem. I wrote this the other day. The problem is the Giants' old way of thinking, the old way of doing business, the old way of not using analytics, just getting the analytics, the old way of having to draft or hire coaches based on a giant tree. All these things are not getting young talent. All these things are what is hampering the New York Giant football organization from a front office perspective. The old way of thinking and the old way of doing things that used to work, that probably worked in Mara's senior days, is no longer working. This is a new NFL, and it requires a new way of thinking. And when the Giants are not there yet, they're still doing things the old way because they've been a flagship, you know, top-tier organization for years, the only organization that's won a championship, won in every decade. But that's more, if you think about it now, even though that's good, it's kind of ineptitude because we're not consistent. Even in those years that we won Super Bowls, we weren't really like the most dominant team, the best team. We just got hot at a certain time. We haven't been consistently going to the playoffs, consistently winning playoff games in a long time. I don't think ever, not since I remember, like it's been a good year and a bunch of lean years, and a good year and a bunch of lean years. So it's like, and they're okay with it because most times the fan base is okay with it. Every time we start 0-2, they were like, oh, yeah, remember the year we started 0-2? We went to the Super Bowl. No, this team, we're on a bad team. We have a GM that's whole thing was about fixing offensive line. 4 years in, the offensive line is still not fixed. He got rid of all the top-tier alpha males off the team. This is 48 alpha males. He got a bunch of choir boys playing football, except for, like, maybe Hernandez and two other guys. You know, we need Donalds on this team. We need young, talented front office leadership, and we don't have those things. So, yeah, we definitely need a consultant right now. We needed him 2-3 years ago to say, these are what things you're not doing compared to the rest of the league, and this is why. And, you know, other teams turn around. San Francisco turned around their organization twice since we've been going through this, twice, and we're still bad. That's not good. We're a bad organization, not just a football team. We're a bad organization.
Now, do you have a question for myself, Carl, Dre, and the Worm? A good answer too, by the way.
Okay, so here's the one thing I thought. How did everyone feel about the safety play? We drafted so many defensive backs. I felt like Love was out of position on all those deep balls. Like he was late. Sometimes I think Bradbury thought he had coverage. What do you guys think about what are we doing in our secondary with the safety? He was completely out of position the whole game. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I remember that vividly in that game versus Dallas. Let me put myself on the clock and answer these questions, give my thoughts real quick before my time runs out, and go back to Carl. You know what, Bakes? It really comes down to this for me, and this is the thing we've said every week. I say this every week. I mean, you could stock up on cornerbacks and safeties and have the scheme. If we don't have that pass rush to at least keep the quarterback honest, the opposing quarterback honest, he's going to find a way. And to answer your question as far as Love, I thought he was late getting over, and I think even with the man coverage on CeeDee Lamb with Bradbury, I think he thought he had help a little bit over the top, but he was just a little bit too late. But that's probably, to me, more on Bradbury, because Bradbury's kind of brought in as his number one guy, and he's had that fantastic season. I don't want to put that onus like what Carl said as far as no fans. Maybe he excelled without the fan pressure, but he showed pretty good years in Carolina, but he's off to a rough start this year, man. We got to keep tabs on Bradbury, man. He's not off the hook, man. I don't think he gets, not just this platform, but just in Giants in general. Like, I don't think he gets criticized enough. Let me go back through the other spots. Tony and Shepard, that was Carl's question. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Tony could come out the bat. Ty Montgomery, you guys know Ty Montgomery, the wide receiver for the Packers all those years, and they put him in running back. Cordell Patterson, all those years with the Vikings. Now he's with the Falcons. They run him out of the backfield, so why can't we? Worm said it just now, Booker. I'm not confident with Booker as a backup. Get your best players the ball. I don't give a damn how you get them the ball. I don't care if they're in the slot, a flanker, they're coming out the backfield. Get them the ball. Utilize their speed, because I know this about it. Tony's got more speed from, 0 to 60 than Booker. And that means waiting to set up blocks, and he has an acceleration that's way better than Booker. So, yeah, you could utilize it. The problem is, will Jason Garrett use it? I don't think so. And that's where Billy Bob always calls in and says, know your personnel. Leonard Williams, this is what I think about Leonard Williams. Somebody touched on this about a week ago. Oh, and actually, Worm said a little bit about it tonight. Dalvin Tomlinson was a big deal. You couldn't pay both of them, so I get that. So they opted to go with Leonard Williams. But this is how I look at Leonard Williams. By position in the 3-4, he's listed as a DN. But to me, he's kind of more 75% defensive tackle. His stats, to me, were comparable to Aaron Donald last year. If you look at that from a defensive tackle position, he was taking a lot of the free reign because Dalvin Tomlinson was taking all the brunt work in the trenches. Austin Johnson and Danny Shelton aren't Dalvin Tomlinson, so that's getting exposed. I don't look at Leonard Williams as this sack artist. The Giants need an edge rusher, period. A true 3-4 Von Miller type, they don't have it. That's that answer to me. I got to get to these other questions before my time runs out. Worm had the question as far as the consultant. Shit, I'm out of time. Consultant, yeah, Worm, we need a consultant. We need a consultant, and I guess I'll have more time when I go back around. Billy Bob is with us. Then we'll go back to Carl. Billy Bob, we got a lot of questions on the table, and plus, oh, damn, I didn't even get to my matchups with the Rams. I see you now. I see why you guys are pressing on the clock. Billy Bob, questions for you, man. Got a lot of them. And I think you're going to like the first one from Carl. How do you utilize Tony and Shepard if Shepard's playing this week, number one? Number two, fans, media is getting on Leonard Williams. What do you think about that? Number three, from Bakes, as far as the safety position, are they out of place? Those are three questions. And also, yeah, the one question about, Giants needing a consultant, a new direction as far as overseeing operations. If you can answer those four questions in 3 minutes, and on top of that, your thoughts versus the Rams, it would be deeply appreciated before we go back to Carl. What's going on, bro? How you doing? You're on the clock.
Good evening. How y'all doing? Real quick. First, I've been talking about since week one. I said Urban Meyer was licking his chops because I didn't even know the Giants were going to get Kadarius Toney. And then when we got him, Urban Meyer was kind of pissed because he got, what's his name, the running back from Clemson. He had to set up for Etienne. He had to set up for him because he knew how to use Kadarius Toney. I told y'all, Kadarius Toney is a running back playing wide receiver. All you got to do is get the ball in his hand. I've been stressing that since day one. I was like, but the reason why we ain't ever going to see it because they do not understand player personnel. Moving on to the next question, I think it was Leonard Williams. Yeah, he need to be like playing defensive tackle on some real serious basis. To the point that I'm like, Giants need to get out of the 3-4 and move it to the 4-3. Because the guys that we have out there, they more like tackles. I mean, D tackles more than edge rushers. So if y'all want to just say throw 4-3 out there, I'm cool with that because we don't have good linebackers anyways as I'm looking at it. If you want to talk about Bradberry, you got to just say that's a Gettleman. And that was just from Gettleman. I mean, Gettleman just had to grab that. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain that. But if we're talking about the safeties, told y'all. On defense, I'm gonna stand on this on defense. Listen, when your offense is not making plays or scoring enough points, defense gonna do stuff and just like they're gonna take that, they're gonna do the opposite with Belichick. Say just do your job. Well, it's not gonna happen like that because people gonna feel like they have to make plays. Safety's gonna jump routes that they shouldn't be jumping routes. That's why Bradberry got left on that island by himself because Love was down there cheating. Because he felt like he had to make a play and got caught. Hey, that's what happens. You're going to see that a lot. But at the same time, I told y'all the defense is still making plays. Do we need a consultant? Yeah, but let's be real. Giants just need to get an offensive coordinator. I mean, look what Moore is doing for Dallas. And at the same time, we really need to take a look at the offensive coordinator for Kansas City. I don't know what the Giants are waiting on. I mean, do something, Shay, something up. That's the only thing I can say. Find another offensive coordinator, and if what's his name, Eric Bieniemy is out there, give it a shot for him. As far as getting concerned, I don't know, man. I just feel like a team is there. I can't. It's like we got a well-rounded team. It's talented. Just need to be coached well and have a good offensive coordinator. I don't know if I missed any one of those questions. I hope I covered it all, but yeah.
Okay, give us something on the game. What about versus the Rams? How you look?
Around. Yeah. I feel like we're in some deep trouble because you know how long we've been talking about running schemes. The Rams are very notorious for running schemes like drag routes, and I just don't see us stopping that. You're just gonna see man's ground. Cooper Kupp. We're just gonna be seeing people run scot free. And we thought, I'm big on our defense, but watch how our defense hold up. But when I tell y'all, defense is only built on confidence. When the defense know they can play to win, like we got a defense that's built on having a lead. I'm trying to tell y'all because that's why they got all these cornerbacks. It was meant to be played for the lead, but the Rams are going to tear their ass apart, bro, with schemes. When we talk about schemes and knowing personnel, you're going to see that. We're just going to see that as finest. And we just man down. And we man down. So it's like, I don't know what to say. I really just called y'all to just say, damn, how y'all doing today? Because there's nothing really to talk about. All we're doing is talk about the same thing. But listen, we're going to see the Rams at their finest with all these schemes. This is like, they just gonna be like oiling their machine on us right now. That's what we watching.
All right. Now, do you have a question? We got Lit on the line. Do you have a question, Billy Bob? Because we got a whole bunch of questions for Lit.
I got a question.
Because
Lit almost said.
You do.
Listen. My thing. Lit almost said something when he was talking about Saquon being a running back from out of Penn State coming from out of that conference. He might have gonna say something, but I think he held back because he probably thought it might have been shaky. But I just want to ask you: do you really think that Saquon's that running back?
All right, put him on the line. Ask him one more time. Go ahead.
Do he think Saquon is our future running back? If not, why not give it a blockbuster deal? Trade? I don't know.
Oh,
what up,
you know,
man?
Hey, it is great to be on this show. Steve Azul, thank you very much for having me. Billy Bob, I would love to answer that question.
We got more questions for
We all fell for the hokey-jokey with Saquon Barkley. Now, nothing wrong with the guy. He's right. He's a personable guy. He is a company man. But we brought him in when we were supposed to be one step away, one piece away from winning the Super Bowl. Now, going forward, we're all scratching our head. What do we do in this situation? This guy might have an amazing physique, a workout ethic, but if you blow on him the wrong way, he's going to succumb to injury. And that's kind of a double-edged question because you're going to have the Stooges, Larry, Curly, Moe, and Shep, having to deal with this, and I'm not comfortable having Larry, Curly, Moe, and Shep dealing with Saquon Barkley. Personally, I feel that we need to protect our future due to the fact the shelf life of running backs, and I think we should make a play on him and see what we can haul.
All right. Other questions I got for you from everybody, all the stakeholders on the line. Tony and Shepard, if Shepard's playing this week, do you see a way to get them in at the same time? That was from Carl. Your thoughts on Leonard Williams about him being blasted by fans in the media. Warren brought up Giants needing a consultant. And then also Bakes, as far as what you think about the safety play this season.
I'd like to answer Worm's question, okay? I'll just give one answer on Worm's question. So check this out.
Right.
Most successful businesses, the owners, the investors, they basically sit at home and collect the bags of money. They hire a professional management company to run the business. They are a successful branded company. That is what the Giants need to do. John Mara, Chris Mara, Steve Tisch, the rest of the family need to sit at home, take a hands-off approach. They need to hire a bona fide professional football management company to run this organization correctly and bring it back to the glory days. Because basically, like I said, you got the stooges, the yes men, the goons that are running this company. And all they can do is give us, we understand. We understand how you feel. No, you don't, because all those season tickets have already been paid for. You've already got all of our money, and I feel we got by the ownership.
All right. Do you have any thoughts on the game? Rams versus Giants, you got one more minute on the clock.
Well, you know what? I just have a quick question for everybody, whoever wants to chime in on this. At what number
like
of losses? What?
Yeah, we could do it like that. That's fine.
All right. Hey, I just got one question. At what number of losses and the upcoming trade deadline is the number that we need to say fire sale? And do you want David Gettleman in charge of the fire sale?
All right. This is we're going to – shout out to you, Lit. We'll do it like this. We're going to have everybody answer that question right now because we got to get into the picks. Carl, can you answer that question? You heard Lit. What's the number of losses for a fire sale, and do you want to get them in charge? And then we'll go to Dre, the Worm, Bakes, Billy Bob to answer that same question. Give us like a quick 60 seconds on that.
Ideally, the number would be six losses, but they will not make any significant trades because what they will tell you is that they do not want to give the impression that they are quote-unquote quitting on the season. And plus, they don't really have many tradable assets either.
All right, let's go to Dre. Dre, you want to answer that question? Number of losses before there's a fire sale, and do you want Gettleman in charge of that? 30 to 67.
Listen, number of losses, whatever number of losses it takes for John Mara and company to actually lose money. Because what Worm was getting at, that's what I've been getting at. It don't matter how many wins and losses we have, Mara still gets deposited into his bank account at the end of the day. He still gets money. Once our losing starts affecting him financially, then he'll sit back and get consultants. But right now, it's not going to happen. Look, Giant season tickets are sold out the last time I checked, 10 years. It's like a 10-year waiting list, probably longer now, so he's just sitting back. So I don't see it happening, which is why I always stress we need to get rid of him, but we all know that we can't, and I say it every show, but that's why. That's why I don't like him.
All right, let's go to Worm. Number of losses, Worm, from the definition of Lit, man. Number of losses before there's a fire sale. Do you want to get them in that fire sale?
I actually – they're not going to make any changes in season. The only reason that they made a change with Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo was because of the pushback that they got from the media and that they got from the fans, and they were afraid – to trot Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo in the Giants stadium after they benched Eli for garbage can Smith. So there's going to be no changes made in season. It's not going to happen. The answer to that question is no losses is going to lose anybody's jobs in season. If anything,
right, let's go to
Bates Gettleman.
And then, go ahead, what?
Oh. Gettleman will be forced to retire at the end of the season the way that they forced Coughlin out the door.
All right, Biggs, what's your answer to that question then, Billy Bob?
Yeah, I don't think the Giants, like I said in my last go-around, the Giants do things the old school way. They think they don't make rash decisions when it's time to make a rash decision because we spent a lot of money, didn't work. We drafted, it didn't work. But even with the losses coming, it's to the part where fans are going to stop coming to games and start wearing trash bags and brown paper bags over their face is when they might make a change. But they're never going to make major changes in the season. They're okay with the start over right now. And they're coming off COVID, so they're probably selling out. So there's no rush for them to make any decision. I guess Narrow is going to knock over more trash cans. That's going to be the brunt of it.
All right. And Billy Bob, you want to take a stab at that question as well? Your thoughts?
Yeah, that was a good question. And at the same time, yeah, we can all say that same thing. Ain't nothing happening. That's like me saying, like, with the Giants fire the offensive coordinator in season? I don't know. That's like you got to put all that together. And then it's like we're having two types of seasons, because then you ask yourself, do we really want to win games? Because then are you looking at draft and all that go together? So I don't want to go too far into it. But if we do have a fire sale, what we giving up? I mean, I don't really think nobody going to want that for Sterling Shepard, or who we giving up. Saquon, they probably looking at Saquon. That's an injury. Like, you got to start looking at him like, this dude here get injured a lot. For a person that be bitching 500 with thighs jumping out of water, you got legs like spaghetti. No. You got to put all that in the account. Do we want Gettleman doing it? Look how far we got with it.
My answer, there should be a fire sale, because if you got expiring contracts, you got to at least try to look at to get something for them. Don't think for a second that they're not, because I think most general managers are always looking at what you could do to improve your team. But the answer is, they, like Worm said, they will not. But I think, of course, they should look at all avenues, especially definitely by your third division loss, because I think there's only going to be one representation from the division in the playoffs. And even if we get in, like, how far are we going to go? So that's my answer to that. Let's get to the picks, man, because we only got a few minutes left. We got standings, man. We got updates on the standings. Carl's in first place with 26 confidence points. Chris is in second at 22 points. Lady Blue at 19. Steve at 18. Dave at 15. And Coach Chris from the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum Show is at 14. And we only have two survivors. That'll be me. And Carl, we survived. We both had the Vikings. Did I pick a team this week? Oh, shit. I didn't even pick my team yet. Shit. I'm about to be looking right now, man. Carl, give me a second, man. I forgot to pick my survivor. Wrote down my fucking confidence points, but I forgot to write down my survivor. You know what? I'm going Rams. Fuck it. I'm going Rams. All right. So I asked you to have your list. I got your list. And we're going to lead off with you. We got four games on the slate. I got Chris's picks in here. We got Cardinals at Browns. We got Chargers at Ravens. Vikings at Panthers. Rams at Giants. I'll repeat. Cardinals at Browns. Chargers at Ravens. Vikings at Panthers. Rams at Giants. And I'm already going to put it on the table. I'm going Rams for my survivor. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Let's go with the confidence points. The leader right now on the leaderboard, that would be Carl. Let's cue the music and hurry up and get off. Let's go ahead. Where is it? Ready to go? Let's go. Let's go, Carl.
Yes, sir. All right. Give me survivor. Give me the Rams as well. Give me also them with 4 points. Give me the Rams. So we got Rams with four. I'm going to take the Ravens with three. I'm going to go with the Cardinals at two. And I'm going to go back to the well with Carolina, even though they lost last week. Give me them with 1 point.
All right, cool. Let's go to Dre, man. Give us your confidence points if you want to participate, man.
Listen. It's only one matchup where the opponent is completely, well, it looks like the opponent is completely lost against the other opponent, and that's our game. So I'm going to also take the Rams at four. I'm going to take Arizona at three, Minnesota at two, and what was the other one?
Chargers at the Ravens.
Ravens, one.
All right, cool. Thank you very much. Let's go to the Worm and get his picks, his confidence picks. Let's go to the Worm. There you go, Worm.
I'm going to go to Rams at four. I'm going to go to Ravens at 3. I mean, I'm sorry, the Rams at 4. Yeah, the Ravens at 3, the Cardinals at 2, and the Vikings at 1.
Okay, shout-outs to the Worm. All right, let's go to the Bakes, the Frontliners. NYG Frontliners.
All right, I'm going to take the Rams at 4. I'm going to take Cards at 3. I'm going Chargers over the Ravens at 2. And I'm taking the Panthers at 1.
All right. Shout-outs to D-Bates. You said the Panthers? Did you say the Panthers or Vikings? I'm sorry.
Panthers at 1, yep.
Panthers at 1. I got you. Let's go to Billy Bob. Billy Bob, who you got for us, man, on the picks?
I got the Giants confidence pick with 4.
No, you don't.
I got Arizona with 3. Hey, come on now. Let me get my picks off now. Come on, bro. I got Arizona with 3. I got Baltimore. No. I got Chargers at 2.
Okay.
I got Vikings at 1.
Gotcha.
And I'm standing on it, whoa. I'm standing on it.
Okay. All right, let's go to Lit, man. Let's get him in a confidence pick, too. We'll see where he stands, man.
Okay, here we go. We're going to go Rams.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going Browns with 3 just because Chandler Jones and Cardinal Foster tight end, major impact on the offense. Two would be Ravens, and then 1 would be the last game that he got on their seat. Chargers?
Vikings, Panthers. Vikings at Panthers.
Panthers would be 1. Yep.
All right. Shout out to Lit. Okay. So we got Chris got his picks in, man. He went Panthers 4, Chargers 3, Cardinals 2, Rams 1. My picks, Rams 4, Vikings 3, Browns 2, Chargers 1, Survivor, same as Carl. So, Carl, we're going for the push. If we get eliminated together, we're going down the same shit, man. So those are the week number 6 picks here on the Big Blue Roundtable. Let's get we're almost out of time. Well, Carl, if you want to answer the questions that you didn't get a chance to answer, feel free on your final thoughts. Give us about 45 seconds. Everybody 45 seconds. We're going to run a little bit over. But go ahead, Carl. Final thoughts. Leonard Williams, the consultant question from Worm. Bakes on the safety, if you want to take a stab at any of them, Litz question, or anything on your final thoughts. Let me get everybody else, give us like 30, 45 seconds, and we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, let me do 2 on that. On the Leonard Williams front, I think folks assumed that he was just going to play at the same all-pro level that he played at last year when he had never played that way before in his career up until last season. And so it was almost logical to assume a regression to what he was previously. And if you look at the numbers for this season, he's basically regressing back to what he was before 2020. So I don't think he's playing any worse than he normally would play. It's just that last year was an outlier. As one last thing as well, as we say goodbye, I think the fear that we should have going ahead is that the Giants blame the season on injuries, because if you look at Jones, Barkley, Shepard, and Galladay, those are 4 guys who for 3 years running now will have missed multiple games potentially due to injury. If you're going with an offense with a plan that revolves around those 4 players and their injury history, you are setting yourself up for failure.
At the C Notes on Twitter, man, we're going to continue this conversation this weekend on Twitter. If you guys got a Twitter handle, put your Twitter handle on here so, stakeholders and people listening could tag you on their questions and comments as well. At the C Notes on Twitter. Dre, put out your Twitter, your final thoughts as well. What you got for us? 30, 45 seconds, bro.
I really don't have that much. I don't even know my Twitter handle. I give it to you and you give it to everybody else because I'm barely on Twitter. Be the best. Do the best we can do. Bleed blue.
All right, I got it somewhere. I wrote it down. I got you. We'll take care of you. Shout out to Dre, man. Thank you very much. It's good chiming in. The warm congratulations once again on the matrimony, your final thoughts, and also, you know, anything else you'd like to add, your Twitter handle, such and such, the, you know, your Facebook page, your social media outlets as well.
Thanks for, you know, the well thoughts at the wedding. It was a great time on the beach. Got married at my home away from Giants Stadium. Hit me up on Facebook. Type in Worm. I have the Worm page, and I have my, you know, normal public page. Anybody coming this week, I'll be in L5. It's right across from where the fan van used to park. Somebody wants to come hang out, have a beer, have a shot, you know. I'm making Worm waffles, whatever. Just, you know, come by, say hi. You'll see me. I'll be running around the parking lot with my shirt off, waving it in the air. That's basically it, you know. Have a nice night. I hope I get to see some of y'all on Sunday.
All right. Shout-outs to Worm, the Worm fan page, and also on Twitter as well, on Graham. Oh, he's all over the place, man. Hardcore Blue. Shout-out to the Worm, man. Who's next? Bakes, final thoughts, NYG Frontliners, Frontliners, NYG, your pages, your social media. Tell people where they can hit you up in between games, talk Giants, Frontliners shit, all kind of stuff, man. Final thoughts, bro.
So on IG, it's NYG Frontliners. On Twitter, it's Frontliners NYG. On Facebook, it is The Frontliners, that T-H-E, Frontliners. We have a page there. And they're all linked, so I'm trying to keep more active because, you know, I'm just coming off a wedding, wedding myself. Congratulations, Worm.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was September 4th. So, but for the game, thank you. For the game, I just want to, you know, I'm hoping for some competitive play. I'm hoping to see Tony get off some more. Hopefully he could build a quick rapport with Glennon if he's the quarterback, or if Jones come out there, he get off some more, you know, whatever. Play the young players. Try something different. I don't know. So what we trying now ain't working. Blue, blue.
Yeah, like Bakes said, Frontliners NYG, on the Twitter, NYG Frontliners, on the Gram, the Facebook fan page, the Frontliners. In between, you know, they're always on the road, guys, so hit up their pages. Hit up, you know, Bakes is the man, and the team with the Frontliners. Billy Bob, you got anything for us? Anything you'd like to share, your final thoughts? You got anything you want to promote? Anything you got going on, bro?
Nope, but you know, catch me on the Bleed Blue show, still talking. But my final thoughts is I want to know, do they really listen to us when we talk like this? Because like what Carl just said, like when we talk like this here, do they realize things like this here? Like, you see how he said the injury report on that, like Sterling Shepard and Daniel Jones and Galladay, Saquon, and like when you talk like that, you just like, do they analyze this? Do they got data on this? Like, what is the future for the Giants if we're picking up players that always hurt? Like, I don't know if we get the wrong type of finesse players. We need more players. Like if we want to come with, like, some physical finesse players like Kadarius Toney, more of that, yeah. But after that, man, it's like all we can do is just watch for the season and just hope that we – I don't know. I don't even know how to say just watch the season for highlights because we tired of highlights. We've seen enough of highlights with Saquon, I mean, with Odell Beckham and all that. It's just like, hey, I want to ask y'all, do Adams from Green Bay, he remind me of Plaxico a little bit. Am I overthinking that? When Plaxico was just doing his thing for us, I'm just like, when I watch him, I mean, and that's my final thought. I don't know if you want to answer that. He kind of like Plaxico a little bit when I was watching him when Eli was, like, running out there, like, 17. I don't know. I'm just thinking out of pocket. But anyway, that's my thought.
I'll let Lit answer that. I'm going to say no, but we can let Lit answer that. Shout out to Billy Bob, and we got the post game on Sunday, of course, but let's bring on Lit, his final thoughts. Hey, Lit, man, do you got the definition of Lit fan page popping up yet on social media? And anything you want to share with your Twitter and Instagram as well? I know you're representing Big Blue Arizona Frontliners, all that good shit, man. You like hardcore Giant fan, period, man. You got to let these people know how they can reach you in between games. And I know you always getting at the Giant fans on social media with the tough questions, man. Perry Mason shit. Final thoughts.
Well, you know, I've been kind of quiet off social media. I like to do more of a face-to-face. So If anyone would like to chop it up, I'll be at the next six games, and we can have open, clean debate. And I just like that personal rapport. But listen, final thought here, and I hope – I mean, this is public record. The key word here is cap hell. One thing that David Gettleman promised was to clean up cap space. Just to kind of hit on a few things that we're gonna eventually have to make some decisions. Kenny Golladay, $18 million. Leonard Williams, $21 million. Nate Solder, put an asterisk by him at $15 million. James Bradbury, $14 million. Sterling Shepard. I can go on and on and on about this, but at the end of the day, there are going to be some tough decisions by whether it's Gettleman or another management company. But we're going to have to restructure, cut, eat, and drop this this cap from what we have, because what we brought in, what we're paying, it's not working. So, you know, we'll figure it out together as a group. We'll talk about it. We'll debate. Some people will be happy. Some people won't. But at the end of the day, we just want to win. We want a winning organization.
All right. Definition. Hey, wait. That's so fast, buddy. Wait. Instagram, Twitter. Tell them where they can find you. I know you want to do the face-to-face.
Mostly on Instagram, Giants fan of Arizona. It's basically all Giants stuff related, all my tailgate experiences, all my going to the airport and having flights canceled, experiences like that, not making it to Dallas. But, yeah, Giants fan of Arizona on Instagram is pretty much what I post, everything New York Giants related, whether at MetLife or on the road. You'll find me there.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, give Lit a follow as well. Same thing with at the C-Notes, Frontliners, NYG, NYG Frontliners. Shout out to Lit, man. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to continue the conversation throughout the weekend as well, man, because we're out of time. For Carl, Dre, Worm, Bakes, Billy Bob, definitionally, shout out to Lady Blue, NYLove516 on Twitter. And like we said, Chris has had a family emergency. You know, feel free to hit him up between now and the rest of this weekend. Let you know, you know, he's thinking you guys. He says, shout out to the stakeholders. Love you, Bleed Blue for life. Hit him up. We'll be back here Sunday after the game, and then we'll talk. And you know, Billy Bob, we'll extend that that Adams question on that post game, so we didn't have time to discuss it. But outside of that, enjoy Thursday night football, college football this Saturday, and of course the game's on Sunday. Songrass, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.